verses in Proverbs, continuing on this week's suggested reading through Proverbs is chapter 24 through 29. This morning, if you turn to Proverbs 24, just look at a few verses here and there, highlight a few verses, and verse 6, at the end of verse 6, "And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." You know, God speaks to us in different ways, through His Word, by His Spirit, through others we associate with, godly counselors. God directs us, speaks to us. There's safety. The end of verse, the end of chapter 24, beginning with verse 30 through 34, we're not going to read it, but it covers a topic that's repeated in Proverbs about really the God advocating hard work and being against, you know, laziness over and over again. The benefits of hard work and the fruit of your own labor, and the consequences of being lazy and slothful. In chapter 25, verse 11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." Isn't that true? You know, you're seeking a word, you're seeking an answer, you're seeking direction, and then God gives it to you. Oh, that's good. Another place in Proverbs it says, you know, to get a word that's right is like a kiss right on the lips. Dab smack on the lips. Like hitting the nail on the head. A word fitly spoken. The word we need to hear. In chapter 26, look in verse 20. Just skimming through a few. "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases." One of the methods of extinguishing a fire is removing the fuel. Legitimately, that's what they teach in fire science, fire minimum standards requirement. But another nugget of wisdom, to remove the problem is to cease with the problem. Where there is no wood, the fire ceases, the fire goes out. And chapter 28, really this morning's message in verse 13, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Let's continue in a word of prayer. Lord, we again turn to you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we do ask that you administer your word to our hearts. Lord, we need to hear from you. We seek your portion, your truth. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for all that you've done. We ask that you minister to us, Lord, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." I read this. The first thing I thought about is, you know, about concealing your sin, covering your own sin. Concealing. You know that word, conceal. The first thing that comes to my mind, maybe because it's probably in word usage the number one way the word used, is conceal weapon. You know, concealing your sin. You know, hiding your sin. Or, you know, covering your sin. But, you know, as far as a weapon goes, you know, you need a license or a permit to carry you know, openly, or to conceal a weapon. I don't know a whole lot about weapons. I'm not against them, you know, but as far as, you know, there's a certain classification. Is it a C, concealed weapons license, CCW? And you need that in order to conceal your weapon and bring it out in the open. But, you know, I heard from somebody, well, it's hearsay, and I don't know the law, but if you keep your weapon out in the open, you can strap it on your leg, walk down the street, that's legal. Now, as long as you're not by an assembly, a certain school gathering, a certain amount of people, you're allowed. Now, again, to conceal your sin, to cover your sin, you will not prosper. But to confess and forsake it, the Bible advocates. We're not to seek to hide our sin, disown, or, you know, excuse our sin, like Saul did. Saul, when Samuel told him, you know, to slaughter the enemy and all his belongings, came back and made up excuses when he kept the king, Agag, alive and the sheep, making excuses for the disobedience before God or to transgress God's commandment. Now, you know, we can make excuses, and that's a form of covering our own sin. We can deny that we have sin. I don't have any sin. We can blame others for our sin, like Adam did right away during the fall. Adam, well, it's the woman you gave me. It's my wife's fault. I often blame my wife. But Adam did right from the beginning. And then Eve blamed the serpent. Blame shifting. In order to conceal or cover your own sin, you can make up excuses or deceive yourself. I don't have any sin. But the Bible tells us that, you know, if you you know, claim to have no sin, you're a liar. You deceive yourself. We can seek to hide it, to conceal it. But the result is given for one that seeks to hide it or conceals their sin. It will not prosper, the Bible tells us. That word for prosper is saleach in the Hebrew. It's, you know, we often think or associate prosper with financial prosperity. But really it means to progress or to advance, to grow, to move forward. He who seeks to hide or conceal their sin will not go forward, will not grow, the Bible tells us. Two things we are to do with our sin. God keeps it simple. He tells us in verse 13, we're to confess our sin and to forsake our sin. To confess our sin requires bringing it out in the open, not to cover it or conceal it, but to, not to disown it, but to own it. Not to deny it, but to acknowledge it. Not to make excuses, but to take the responsibility before the Lord as we own up to what's in us and who we are. That's not hiding, that's coming clean, coming out in the open, confessing the truth about what's who we are, what's in my heart. We're to confess our sin, and we're to forsake it, the Bible tells us. That means to leave it behind, depart from it, like a hot potato, let it go, move on. The Bible tells us the two things that we are to do with our sin, to confess our sin and to forsake our sin. The Bible tells us, in a contrast, as many of the Proverbs are written, you know, if you cover your sin, you will not prosper, you will not succeed. If you confess and forsake your sin, you will. The contrast will implies succeed. You'll advance. You'll go on. You'll move forward. You'll grow. The word for the mercy here, forsakes them, will have mercy, is rakam in the Hebrew, and it means compassion and love. You'll have compassion and love, God's love and compassion. You'll experience God's love. If we deal with our sin according to the Bible, the way God desires us to, come before Him, we'll experience the love of God in our life. It's a promise. The love of God is associated with success in life, biblically. Move forward to experience His love and His compassion. Oh, to experience His touch. The greatest experiences in my life have been with the Lord and His presence and His touch and His movement. You can't deny it. It's awesome. If you confess your sin and forsake it, He promises you'll have that experience. He keeps it simple for us, not to conceal our sin, to hide it, but to confess it and forsake it. David really, you know, is the master illustration in Scripture about confession of sin, the sin of Bathsheba, written about, you know, his fall and how he confesses his sin, how he kept silent for estimated over a year, how his groans, because he kept silent, the anguish he experienced in his life, the misery because of not confessing his sin, see, holding it in and not forsaking it, covering it up, not opening it up before Him. He gives us a great example in how to confess our sin. He comes to terms with his sin and opens up his heart before the Lord. Another place that's not as popular, David's confession, is when he numbered the troops. The Bible tells us that he sinned before the Lord. And in 2 Samuel chapter 24, he confesses his sin. In verse 10, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. He said his heart was condemning him for numbering the people. He confessed his sin before the Lord. The Bible tells us, I've sinned greatly before you. And then in verse 14, you know, when given by the prophet, you know, a way to, you know, experience the consequence of the sin, he said, you know, let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great. He chose to cast himself on the mercy of God. And really, that's that same word, rakam. I cast myself on your love, Lord. I choose what you have for me. I choose your way. Confessing his sin, he did wrong, his disobedience, his transgression, opening up before the Lord what he did wrong. He casted himself on God's mercy. He said, Lord, I fall into your hands. I want what you want from me. That's smart. That's, you know, you think sometimes, you know, faith and logic don't add up, don't line up, aren't parallel. Oh, yes, they are. That's the smartest thing we can do, is to cast ourselves upon the mercy of the Lord. And he did. He fell into the hands of the Lord, the Bible says, casting himself upon the mercy for success. You know, we've been hearing a lot about General Motors and Chrysler and how to become a viable company. You know, in order to avoid bankruptcy or, you know, to be granted the extra money for government, they got to prove their viability. They need a plan. They got to present it to the government, convince the president. And then they'll be allocated the grant of the money to keep them bailed out. That's not the way the Lord works. The Lord works really in truth. We have to open ourselves up before the Lord. We have to own our bankrupt state before the Lord, before He grants us His Spirit, His truth, His blessing, His love, His mercy. To surrender to Him, to open our heart before Him, how to become viable Christians. We're to confess our sin and to forsake our sin, the Bible tells us. Interesting. There's a difference between concealing our sin and having our sin concealed. Look in Proverbs 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. You know, literally what that speaks about is, you know, it's the glory of God to conceal things. It's His business to keep things private from us. Secret things belong to the Lord, the Bible says. But the things that have been revealed belong to us and our children throughout generations. The things He showed us, the things that He's revealed to us, the things that He's opened up to us, they belong to us. The secret things, that's His department. And it's to His glory to conceal a matter. It's His business. And it's to His glory what He conceals. But the Bible tells us that it's to the glory of God that He conceals our sin. He hides our sin, the Bible says. He puts it behind His back. He chooses not to remember it anymore. The Bible says over and over again, I blot out your sin. That means I wipe it out. That means He eradicates, He deletes it. He removes it. He doesn't see it. He conceals it, putting it behind His back, choosing not to look at it. He grants us forgiveness, blotting out our sin. The Bible says He places it in the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, He casts our sin. Separating it from ourselves and choosing not to look at it. He's concealing our sin. He's the concealer of our sin. You know, the Bible tells us that we're not to conceal our sin. We're to give it to Him, and He'll conceal it. I will remember no more. The Bible says the days are coming for the nation Israel that I will remember their sins no more. The Bible says in the book of Romans, you know, defining our faith, that we've been justified. That means that, you know, by faith, we've been justified. That word justified means we stand righteous or just as we've never sinned. He conceals our sin. He looks at it no more. He sees it no more. We stand before a holy God if we confess and forsake our sin. We stand before a holy God, forgiven, cleansed, righteous, and He conceals our sin. He doesn't see our sin. I like that. We're justified by faith. You know, usually on Palm Sunday we have a message, you know, on Palm Sunday. You know, Jesus came. The reason Jesus came. Hosanna, save now, Lord. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Last week we talked about how Jesus associated His coming with the name of the Lord. The name of Jehovah, the only time He mentions it, is in the time of His coming. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. And you'll see me no more until you say, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Accepting Him, coming from the Lord. Seeing Him. But the Bible says that He came to take away the sin of the world. To remove it. To conceal it. To separate it from us. You know, it's interesting when John made that revelation, it was during the time he was, you know, doing the baptism of repentance. It was around repentance. The time when he said, hey, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Check Him out. He takes away the sin of the world. He came to take it away. We're to bring it to Him. This morning when we read, you know, I kind of see how when Jesus told His disciples, hey, go into Jerusalem, which is against you, and, you know, you'll find them a colt and a donkey. Loose them. Loose them and bring them to Me. It's kind of like our sin. We're to let go of it. Bring it to Him. That's what confession is. Turn it over to Him. Roll it off upon Him. For he who confesses and forsakes his sin will have mercy. Will experience His love. Will experience His person, His spirit, to join Him in one spirit. Sin is the only thing that separates us from God. We're to bring it to Him. In David's confession that we read this morning, he prayed, you know, I have greatly sinned against you. And then he says, but now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Remove it from me, Lord. Take it away. Conceal it. Hide it. Get rid of it. Put it behind your back. David said, my sin is ever before me. In another place where he's confessing his sin, in Psalm 51, you know, the sin of Bathsheba, he says, my sin is ever before me. You know, he put it before him. He's not covering it. He's not hiding it. You know, the Bible tells us of godly men, they live in the presence of God. He sees us. They live in the awareness of God. To put it before his sight, Lord, he sees it anyways. But David, my sin is ever before me. The truth of uncovering and confessing as sin, bringing it to him. Uncovering our sin that he might cover it. You know, unconcealing, handing it to him. He'll conceal it. He'll hide it. He'll remove it. Not us. We can't do that. That's a facade. Into sight we're to bring it. Confession. And he puts it out of sight. He removes it. This morning, we're going to come to the table to celebrate, remember the death of Jesus Christ, his burial, his shed blood, his body broken upon the cross. A great opportunity to come clean before him, be honest before him, what's in us, to experience his love. But first, I want let's stand. He keeps it simple. If you conceal your sin, you hide your sin, you cover your sin, you will not prosper. If you uncover it, you confess it and forsake it, you'll have mercy, great mercy, love, compassion. We'll experience Him, His Spirit, His presence, His person, the way He designed us to experience. So let's pray. Let's prepare our hearts for communion this morning. Lord, we do turn to You. We thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your promises, Lord. You're for real. You see us open and naked. We stand before You. And Lord, we ask that You grant us the freedom, loose them and bring them to me, to be honest before You this morning as we prepare for communion, that we take it in an honorable way. Lord, that we'd experience great mercy, Your success, according to Your perspective, Your life in us. Activated, operating. Lord, we thank You for all that You've done. We ask that You be with us as we prepare our hearts for communion. In Jesus' name, amen.